Wasn't that good? Amen. Amen. Open your Bible with me tonight, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Proverbs, chapter 22. I have a pastor friend in another state, had a family in his church who was in the process of properly trying to get custody of their grandson. The boy's father was a drug addict, and the state had taken custody of the child and was trying to find a proper place to place the child, preferably with some family. The grandparents were having trouble because they refused to agree to follow the state's guidelines because the state's guidelines forbade them to spank the child in any way at all. These parents went to their pastor, and the pastor agreed to go with them to the court hearing. At the court hearing, he actually wound up on the witness stand. First of all, as I understand it, there was the judge and a couple of liberal lady social workers there, the grandparents and the court reporters in the courtroom. And the first thing that happened was that one of the lady social workers got on the stand and gave a testimony about abuse and how terrible abuse was, and therefore the state should not award custody at all to somebody who was going to spank a child, because that was the equivalent of child abuse, and this child may have already had enough of that, and on and on and on. When that was finished, the pastor was asked to take the witness stand, and his testimony was so clear, so biblical, so powerful, that at the end of the hearing, the judge gave the grandparents custody without any prohibition against spanking. Now, at the end of the message, I will tell you what he actually said when he got on the witness stand. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15, is a key verse in the Bible in relation to chastisement. It says this: foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Notice, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Have you ever stopped to realize that in many ways the task that God has given to parents is not only an extraordinarily difficult task, in some ways it sometimes feels like nearly an impossible task. Why? Because we all have a sin nature. That means not only do dad and mom have a sin nature in the home, but all of the children have a sin nature as well, and that makes the foolishness. Have you ever seen a child who will just deliberately go do something to pester somebody, to hurt somebody, to damage something, to destroy something, and you try to talk to them, you try to deal with them, and it's like, man, this is tied into them. It's like this foolishness has roped them in, and they are tied up with a rope, and it is wrapped all the way around them and tied in knots, and to try to get that foolishness off of them and out of them is a great, great challenge. Foolishness is bound in the heart. If you were just dealing with the outside, it wouldn't be such a big deal, but foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And what does God say? But the rod of correction, an outside, properly applied, loving force of discipline, the Bible says, shall drive that out of the child. Now, I've had people say, well, spanking doesn't work. If you do it the Bible way, the Bible says it will work. The Bible says the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Chapter 29, verse 15, just a few pages over there perhaps in your Bible. Chapter 29, verse 15 is another verse in relation to spanking or chastisement. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15, the rod and reproof. You see, the rod is not enough. There's got to be something else going with it. If all somebody does is just spank a child, and they haven't talked to the child, they're probably not going to do any good at all. The rod and reproof give not knowledge, but wisdom. But a child left to himself, in other words, you cannot just let the child alone. You have to do something. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So he needs the rod and he needs reproof. And then in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18, we read, chasten thy son while there is hope. Now notice the word chasten is used there, and notice the word hope is used there. And it is saying that there will come a time when you can no longer chasten the child and it bring hope, help, healing, training, discipline, and so on. Chasten thy son while there is hope, while there's still a chance. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. In recent years, we've witnessed a great outcry in our society against any and every form of corporal punishment, which simply means bodily chastisement or however you want to define it. In 1994, the Illinois State Legislature implemented a statewide ban against corporal punishment in public schools in Illinois. That was challenged by a school in Benton, Illinois. A few months after that, they lost the challenge. The school district said, we're not able to control the children without this. And the state said, you're just going to have to do so. And then we hear these stories. You will recognize perhaps some of these, some you may not. A mother and her son and daughter were shopping in a grocery store in Woodstock, Georgia. The 9-year-old boy was sassing his mother, picking on his sister. When his mother had had enough, the mother slapped him. A store clerk witnessed the incident and called the police. 15 minutes later, Mrs. Kivy was arrested. She had to post a $22,050 bond, and her husband had to cash in his retirement fund to pay for legal expenses to deal with that which had taken place with a slap in public in a grocery store. A Chicago area man was arrested, tried, and acquitted of assault charges after he publicly gave 6 swats to his 5-year-old daughter in Canada. If my memory is correct, the little girl had deliberately closed the car door on a brother or a sister's hand. Now, I need to clarify right up front, I'm not defending those things that have happened. In fact, I don't think either one of those were dealt with biblically properly. I'm simply showing you that there is a problem in our society. There's a problem not only with the sin nature of children, there's a problem with parents knowing how to properly deal with that. Listen to this story. Jamie Henry, 25, of Wood River, Nebraska, was sentenced to 3 to 5 years in prison for child abuse in connection with his use of a 24-inch cattle prod on his 5-year-old daughter and 8-year-old stepson. Cattle prod, if I remember correctly, that is an electric device. Am I right? It has a battery or it's plugged in one or the other. You hit the cattle with it and it gives them an electrical charge. He's using it on his children. He knows there's a problem. He doesn't know biblically how to deal with it. Here's another article from February of 1998. A judge sentenced a Peoria woman to 10 years in prison for putting her son in a clothes dryer for punishment. Here is an article from the Lincoln Courier from 1997. Gives the name of a fellow and says that the police arrested him for bruising a 4-year-old girl while spanking her bare buttocks with his hand, according to police and court reports. And then it tells the charges that were against him. And so there is much confusion in this area. And I really want to speak to you tonight on the subject, how and how not to spank a child. How and how not to spank a child, because it is important not only that you know biblically how to chasten a child, but it is extremely important that you know how not to spank a child. You see, if you violate the negative commands in the Bible, then you get in more trouble than if you violate the positive commands. I've shown that numbers of times. It begins in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And they were told you can eat of the fruit of all the trees of the garden, but of that one tree, you don't eat of that. And they ate of that tree, and they plunged the whole human race into sin. And so the negative commands, there are other illustrations in the Bible of that. I give that in a different message. But there are a number of illustrations in the Bible that show how not to do something. And that if you break the negative, I've seen parents that honestly, I thought they would be as well off or better to do nothing as to do that which they were doing. Because they were creating anger and resentment and bitterness in their children that would produce a fruit of rebellion out yonder in the future that would have been as bad or worse, perhaps, than if they had done almost nothing. Now, doing nothing is not a biblical option because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. We've got to do something, but you've got to make sure that what you do is what God wants you to do. I want to tell you, first of all, why you should use some form of chastisement. Because there's some people who say, well, you just don't ever spank a child or hit a child at all for any reason. And I believe it's because they do not understand what the Bible says about this. Why should you spank? Very quickly, just a few thoughts here. Number one, because God says you're supposed to. Now, whether you and I understand it or agree with it or not, there's no question about the fact that the Bible says to do it. Proverbs 23:13 says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Again, Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope. Now, notice that the Bible word is not spank, but chasten. The word spank, it never even occurs in the Bible. The dictionary definition of spank is to strike the buttocks. Now, maybe you wish there were an easier, more humane way to deal with disobedience and rebellion, but chastening is really the easiest way. Not only is chastisement humane, it is also divine. God didn't take a psychology course and then say, here's the best way to manipulate people. God created man, wrote a manual about the man He created, and said, here is what you have to do. Second reason why you should spank is because history shows the wisdom of God's instructions in this area. J. Richard Fugate, in his excellent book, What the Bible Says About Child Training, said this, throughout recorded history, chastisement through physical pain has been the normal method to control rebellion in children. Even in cultures that have not been based on the Bible, chastisement has often been the standard. Only when a civilization becomes proud in its own wisdom does it become too sophisticated to utilize God's rules for the proper administration of authority. Such a civilization questions and then denies the existence of any absolute standards. That civilization becomes decadent and ultimately is destroyed by a stronger civilization that does follow absolute standards. A third reason you should chasten a child is because it is a part of teaching the child. An illiterate child should not be an option. Children need to learn. And I was amazed to discover that the Greek word for chastening, paideia, in the Greek, in the New Testament, meant not only physical chastisement, but was often also translated as instruct or teach. Spanking isn't only as important as teaching a child, it is a part of teaching the child. Even more amazing is that the Hebrew word yakar carries exactly the same double meaning in the Old Testament, chasten or discipline, and instruct or admonish. Spanking gives direction to the, or speaking gives direction to the mind. But spanking gives direction to the fallen nature. To not spank is to refuse to teach a child something he needs to learn. One of life's most important lessons, that disobedience brings pain. The first lesson that a baby needs to learn in life is the same as the first lesson that God tried to teach Adam and Eve. That lesson is a foundational principle of human life, and it is this: don't touch. That's simple, but it's profound. God didn't put the tree of knowledge of good and evil where Adam couldn't touch it. He put it where they could touch it. And they failed to learn the first thing God had to teach them about what not to touch, and we've been paying for it ever since. A wise parent doesn't simply child-proof their home. The wise parent home-proofs their child. Plan a time to teach your 8 or 9 month old baby to not touch. You might sit him or her down at the table, pull a bowl of water up to the child. When he reaches out, you say no. And if necessary, you give him his little hand a little swat. You're not spanking, you are teaching. You do it again and again, and you reward and praise for obedience until the child always obeys. Incidentally, the main reason that some parents spank and spank and spank and spank and spank and spank and spank children is because they do not take time to sit down one-on-one with the child and teach the child and train the child. And no amount of spanking will get the foolishness that is bound in him out unless you are training him first. As with all of life, when we don't learn a lesson we need to learn early, it doesn't mean we don't learn it at all. It means it's harder to learn it later. And we suffer the consequences of having not learned it soon in life. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. A fourth reason to spank a child is to show that you honor God. In 1 Samuel 2:29, God said to the priest Eli, "Wherefore honorest thy sons above me?" Eli honored his children more than he honored God by allowing them to do as they pleased. A wise thing to say to children virtually every time you need to chasten them for something is, one reason I must do this is to honor God. God says I'm supposed to do this for you. Because God loves you, He wants me to do this. I'm not doing this to you, I'm doing this for you. A fifth reason to spank a child is because the rod establishes the authority of the parent. The rod is the authority figure's symbol of authority. I was amazed to discover that the word rod and the word scepter, referring to a king's scepter, are from the same Greek word. The king's scepter, you've seen many pictures of kings and they're sitting on their throne and their scepter is in their hand. You remember the story of how King Ahasuerus extended the scepter to Esther when she came before him. And the king's scepter is really the king's rod, and it shows it is the symbol of the fact that he has the authority to chasten and enforce the laws of the land. It is his symbol. The rod in the Bible refers to the right of rulership of either government or parents. The sixth reason to chasten a child is that the rod helps establish a proper parent-child relationship. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." Now, notice this. The Bible talks about the Lord scourging us. The Bible never gives us the command or the right to scourge our children. That is a very harsh punishment. That is a step beyond chastisement. Hebrews 12:7 says, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" What son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? The question is a rhetorical question. It is obvious and expected that a father will chasten his children. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." And so, the proper use of the rod is a confirmation to a child that he or she is special to the parent. Children who are not chastened often feel like they are not loved. The parents don't love them enough to make them do right. Hebrews 12:8 teaches that to not spank a child is to create rejection in the child and to treat them like they are illegitimate children instead of your own children. My preacher friend Bill Mitchell in El Paso, Texas, told me about his relationship coming up with his father. He said, Brother Davis, and I wrote it down, it was so powerful, he said, he never ever spanked us in anger. He had a way of dealing with us that touched us at the deepest level of our emotions. His motive was always right. His manner was always right. And we all loved Dad for the way he dealt with us. One of the things a parent ought to do when they spank a child is explain that since God loves us, He chastens us. Now, Johnny, since I love you, then I have to chasten you. Over-permissiveness builds rejection and resentment in a child because you don't love them enough to make them do right. I'm going to refer to this article by Craig Smith. He was writing in the Above Rubies magazine in April of 1995, an excellent article entitled Discipline in God's Way. He said, and in fact, they had five children, four of their own, one adopted, and they fostered some other children. They live in the country of New Zealand. He said, we fostered an eight-year-old boy for a year. A psychologist suggested we give him a treat at the end of each day if he stayed within the rules. This didn't work. If he blew it early in the day, he would be as disobedient and abusive as he liked thereafter, knowing the worst that could happen would be the withholding of a lollipop. His lawyer suggested we write down infractions in a little notebook like the soccer referees do. This had no effect whatsoever. Upon being assigned guardianship, I told him that he would now be subject to the same rules as our own children. One spank with the rod across the backside when it was established that he had violated one of the family's rules. Soon afterwards, both he and our youngest son transgressed together at the same time. After questioning, establishing the facts, and explaining the rules again, our son took his spanking. The foster boy was next, and like our own son, he cried before and after the rod and was very receptive to further instruction and reassuring cuddles afterwards. His first words to me the next morning were these, Dad, you're the best. He also wrote a card of thanks to me for the spanking and put it on my plate at breakfast. He was a totally different boy from that point onward because the rod established the proper parent-child relationship. A seventh reason to spank is because the rod helps relieve the conscience of guilt. A little boy came to his mom and said, Mom, I need a spanking. And the mama said, why? He said, I just want a spanking. And mother pried further and found the little boy had stolen something and was feeling guilty for it, needed relief from the guilt, couldn't get relief from the guilt until there was some proper way to do it. So chastening helps relieve the conscience of guilt. Number eight, the rod restores the broken relationship. When a child is rebellious or disobedient, his rebellion alienates him from his parents. His parents cannot praise him or bless him or fellowship with him. And the use of the rod is the event designed by God to deal with wrong, bring about repentance, demonstrate love, cleanse away evil, and create a bridge for the child to cross to come back into fellowship with his parents. A ninth reason to spank a child is because the rod gives, quote, rest to the parent. Proverbs 29:17 says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Have you ever talked to a family where they don't have rest in their home? The word rest there means peace, tranquility, repose, a place where joy can be because there's calmness and quietness and rest in the home. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Now, if you correct your child and you don't get that spirit of rest, that needs to be a signal to you that you're not doing things God's way. In fact, the verse continues, yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. The word delight is referring to something that is like a dainty morsel of food. Can you imagine? Stephen, run up here right quick, would you please? I feel generous right now. And Ariel brought me these pecan pie morsels a while ago, and I'm going to let you eat one right now. I want you to pop it in your mouth and eat that all at once. Watch that boy go. Now, I want to know something. Just nod your head. Don't try to talk, all right? Is that pretty good? Thank you, sir. I thought it was, too. And no, there's not enough for everybody, just in case you're wondering, all right? But what's it say? You correct thy son, he shall give thee rest. If you're correcting properly, then there will be a sense of peace and tranquility and rest and repose. And he shall give delight unto thy soul. You will be as delighted with him as that special morsel of food that he just ate. A rebellious, self-willed, disobedient brat will give a parent anything but rest. A taxi driver answered a call one day. A lady came out of the house with three small children, put them in the cab and said, start the meter, I'll be back in a few minutes. The driver sat waiting, and the children bawled and yelled, and 15 minutes later, the mother came back and said, how much do I owe you? She asked, and the driver asked if she wasn't going anywhere. No, she said, but I had a long-distance phone call to make, and I needed some peace and quiet. Here's the fare. Thanks for waiting. Now, what's happening in that home is they have a raucous, rowdy, wild, carnal nature atmosphere in that home. They don't have rest. They don't have delight. She's not learned to deal with things the biblical way. A tenth reason to spank the child is to make the child happy. I was asked recently for some key thoughts on having joy and happiness in the home, and proper discipline is a key thought in that area. Psalm 94:12 said, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord. That means happy. Did you know I found out that when God deals with me as one of His children, brings me into line, it just makes me love Him more. It brings happiness into my life. The same thing happens in the home. Job chapter 5, verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. There is no happiness without discipline and security. And that's the reason many rebels join the military. They're looking for the discipline and security they could not find at home. When a parent properly, biblically uses the rod, the child feels secure and safe because he knows there are boundaries in place. An 11th reason, and this is very important, to chasten a child is to keep the child from facing punishment. There is a difference between chastening and punishment. And the more I study this, the less I even like using the word punishment in relation to children. And I would suggest to you that you never use that word in your home in relation to your children. Chastening is the thing between a parent and a child. Punishment is something more like takes place between the judge and the transgressor of the law. Punishment carries the idea that you're paying a price. The goal is not reformation, but rather to exact something from you. Punishment is like consequences without change. First mention of punishment in the Bible is Cain in Genesis 4, verse 13, where he said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. If you study the Old Testament history, it's almost like the northern kingdom of Israel got punishment because they were dispersed and were never regathered. The southern kingdom got extreme chastisement. There is a difference. And the 12th reason to chasten a child is to keep the child from going to hell. The Bible lays that out plainly. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child. Thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Here's what I have noticed. It is getting more and more difficult to witness to people and win them to Christ because there are so many people who are being raised without proper discipline, chastisement, and correction. It is much easier to win someone to Christ who was properly chastened as a child, and with that chastening, they learned respect. They sense a respect for God that causes them to more easily bow to God's will. They have also learned that disobedience here on earth is dealt with, so they understand that sin carries a penalty that must be paid. Those are the 12 reasons to chasten a child. Now, the key question of this message is, how should you spank? And I want to take the Bible word chastise, C-H-A-S-T-I-C-E, yes. And I want to use the word chastise, and I want to show you C-H-A-S-T-I-S-E, isn't it? I misspelled the word, didn't I? I want to use that word, and I want to break it down as an acronym and show you what the Bible says about how to spank a child. The letter C means calm. If you're upset, if you're hollering, if you're screaming, if you're angry, then it is a terrible time to chasten the child. In fact, your chastening will not work. It will backfire on you because you're violating biblical truth. Now, the foundational point of everything in child rearing, folks, is this. You've got to make sure you've got your child's heart. Luke chapter 1 talks about turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Luke 1:17. If you want your child's heart to be prepared to seek God, then he is going to have to turn his heart to you, and the only way that can happen is if he sees you continually as being just. That doesn't mean you'll never blow it. It means, generally speaking, you don't usually blow it. And it also means that when you do blow it, the few times that you do, you're quick to apologize to your child and ask his forgiveness. The key thing you need to do every day is check and make sure you have your child's heart. The rod cannot keep the heart. Only the heart can keep the heart. You must be calm. That means you must make sure that you are not angry at all. The Bible says, be angry and sin not in Ephesians. And the meaning is, be ye angered and don't you sin by getting angry. Now, if you in any way are angry at the child, you're already sinning. The child has done wrong, now you have done wrong. Will you accomplish anything by adding to that wrong and spanking the child in anger? No, you will make his wrong worse. He will now develop bitterness and resentment against you. This is the reason the world is reacting to spanking. Because parents are getting upset at a child, slapping a child around, hitting a child. They're not calm when they deal with the child. They see someone spank in anger in a store or parking lot, or they hear about it occurring in the home, and they sense the horrible injustice of such a thing. James 1:20 says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Proverbs 22:8 says, the rod of anger shall fail. And that word doesn't just mean that it will fail to accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish, and that is true. But the Hebrew word there for fail means it will destroy. The rod of anger just not only does not accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish, it actually destroys the child. It wipes the child out. Psalm chapter 37 verse 8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. And if you study the context of that verse, It is talking about whenever you are dealing with evil or evildoers. Cease from anger and forsake wrath when you're dealing with evil, when you're dealing with evildoers. There's a biblical illustration of chastisement in anger. Twice in the book of Psalms, chapter 6 and chapter 38, David cried out, "O Lord, don't chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger." David's description is powerful. He's saying, "God, I can't handle it." And God could chasten in anger justly, whereas you and I could not. And even in the middle of that, David is saying, Your arrows are sticking in me. You ought to picture this in your mind, parents. When you chasten a child in anger, it's not a kind, loving thing that you're doing, and everything a parent does for a child should be motivated by love. That's not a loving thing you're doing. What you're doing is what the bow hunters have been doing around here to the deer. You are taking a bow, you are putting a deadly arrow in it, and you are turning it loose on the child, and it is going into the child, and the next time you chase him in anger, it's going into him again, and the next time you chase him in anger, it's going into him again. And if you keep doing that, your child's going to become like, not like a pin cushion, like an arrow cushion. He's just going to be filled with these arrows, and his body is going to be in pain constantly. You will never have rest. You will never have peace as long as you do that. I read a story, share it with you here. When Harry was a young boy in Louisiana, he was always getting into trouble. One morning while waiting for the school bus, he pushed the outhouse into the swamp and went off to school as if nothing had happened. When he returned, his father was waiting for him. "Son," the father asked, "did you push the outhouse into the bayou?" "Yes, father," said Harry. "Like George Washington, I cannot tell a lie." Harry's father said, "All right, son, come with me. I'm going to have to spank you." Harry tried to explain that Mr. Washington didn't spank George when he admitted chopping down the cherry tree. "Yes, son," said Harry's father. "But George's father wasn't in the tree at the time either." Now that's a funny story, but that's not a reason to spank. The reason to spank, get this, is not ever because the child hurt the parent, but because the boy hurts himself when he does wrong. It is not possible for a parent to chasten justly in anger. Spanking is not an opportunity for a parent to get even with the child. Like $20 for the broken window, 20 swats. Maybe the child embarrassed you. Maybe they wounded your pride. Then accept God's humbling and decide to do better in the future. But do not ever spank in anger. C, be calm. The letter H is have time. Now, why do I say that? Because most parents who spank don't have time when they spank. They grab the child, they hit the child, they swat the child, they run in the other room, close the door, swat him several times with a rod, that's it. Could I tell you, biblically, you have not spanked the child at all. Not really. Now, certainly there are times when you can't spank right when you want to or need to, but later you can. The reason most people don't have time is because they waste, get this, they waste so much time doing this the wrong way. They wind up doing it the wrong way so often they don't see how they could possibly have time to do this the right way. Here's a powerful thought. You will save yourself enormous amounts of time if you will take time. This should be an event that takes place. This should be a thing that is everything else stops. My child needs my help. It's not I'm going to straighten this kid out. It's my child needs my help in this area. I got this article off the web that dealt with spanking. And they had a phenomenal idea on here. They actually printed up for their home an appointment card every time the child needed a spanking. Appointment, child's name, what the behavior was, what the chastening is going to be, what date it's going to be, and what time it is to take place. And they would sometimes chasten right away, but sometimes they would simply say, "Now, I'm going to let you wait a little while to think about this, because this is very serious, and so we're going to let you go in the room here, and we're going to let you sit down, and 30 minutes from now we'll fulfill this appointment, and I'll be in here. And we'll talk about what you've done." And they kept their appointment. He also wrote this. I thought this was very interesting. He said, "Have the child tell you the reason they're being chastened. The parent," isn't this interesting? Listen to this. "The parent should wait 1 minute between each swat. Apply no more than 5 swats a day. Spank only on the rump. Child must always be wearing clothes. Use force sufficient to get the child's attention and support the child so that no stress can be placed on the spine. Support them in the front so that no stress is placed on the spine while they are being spanked." And another article I said, the only way you will know how much force you are using with the child is always before you hit the child, you first hit yourself. And that way you always know what the child is actually experiencing. Now, a key thing here is not to wait too long, especially if you have little children. To wait even a day with older children could be a sign that you don't love them enough to do for them what they need done. And the waiting alone may breed more rebellion, along with feelings of rejection and insecurity. So a short period of time where you make sure that you are totally calm, not upset at all, and they are sitting quietly, and you are taking time. But the verse says this, Ecclesiastes 8:11, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil." One reason the crime problem in America is so bad is because we wait so long in many cases to try criminals and then wait so long to carry out the sentence. If you wait too long to deal with a little child, they won't even know what you're dealing with them about. And then, now we said, C is calm, H is have time, and A is alone. Be alone or have present as few people as possible. Whatever you do, don't spank in the hallway, in the auditorium, the parking lot, the store. Matthew 18:15, the spirit of Matthew 18:15 comes into play here. If you have a problem with your brother, you go to your brother alone. The goal is not to embarrass the child. The goal is to change the child. An embarrassed child is going to be more concerned about his reputation than he is sorry for what he did wrong. He's also more likely to be defensive and look for faults in the parent he can share later with his friends. Public discipline may also create a wounded spirit that could cut off future communication between a parent and a child. Craig Smith said this, "Chastisement in public is humiliating, so avoid it if possible. For us, chastisement is often a 10 to 15 minute process. We go to the bedroom, collect the rod, then fully discuss the crime. I ask the child to identify which of the 4 D's were broken." Now, I'll expound on this in just a moment, but he uses 4 D's that he says cover virtually every wrong. Disobedience, disrespect, dishonesty, or destructiveness. Disobedience, disrespect, dishonesty, or destructiveness. So on the appointment, you could write what the behavior was and which one of those 4 D's is involved. So I asked the child to identify this. And then I asked them why I have to spank rather than give them a tongue lashing or do something creative like giving lollipops. There is always an opportunity at this point for the child to plead extenuating circumstances. And if it is appropriate, no spanking is given. After the rod, there are cuddles, hugs, and prayer, at which the time the child is very open, teachable, and receptive. In the book of Jeremiah, I was reading a passage a while ago, and I forgot to bring the reference out here with me, where it talks about chastisement. And then, in the very next verse, it talks about how it brought about repentance. If you spank a child, and there is no repentance, then you didn't spank properly. Usually what happens is the parent will spank and they'll get it over with, go right back to what they're doing. They didn't have time to do it right. You know what they're going to do? They're going to do that again and again and again and again and again and again. And they're never going to get done because they're not taking the time that it takes to do it. Here is the time to reason with words of instruction and encouragement. But words do not drive out the foolishness. That is the rod that the Bible says drives the foolishness out of the child. Now, I could add this here. The reason children who are warned in public have to be warned in public over and over again is usually because parents don't follow through once they get in private. Now, we said C is calm, H is have time, A is be alone. You don't want to embarrass the child. S is silence. Consider a time of silence to examine your own heart and express grief. Silence. Just sit in silence. In Ezra chapter 9, Ezra rent his clothes and sat down astonished over the sin of the people. That may be a good time for you to very calmly pray with the child. If God gives it to you, it'd be good to have tears at that point because you're concerned about where the child is and what is happening in their life. The letter T is talk. What are you talking about here now? You are establishing personal responsibility. The key question to ask is, what did you do? The key question is not, why did you do it? If there is a legitimate reason why, it will come out, but you don't need to ask that. When you ask why, you're asking a child to make excuses. You remember the story of how Moses came down off the mount and had, when he came down, he saw the people dancing around the golden calf. And Aaron, he looked at Aaron and essentially he said, why did you do this? And Aaron starts making excuses. Well, the people made me do it. And when he gets done, he finally says one of the most ridiculous things you ever read in the Bible. That calf just jumped out of the fire all by itself. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous for a grown man of responsibility and position. He was the great high priest of Israel. And here he is there. That calf jumped out of the fire all by. I mean, you know, listen, if you ask the child, why did you do this? I will tell you now, in case you wonder why he did it, I'm going to tell you. You won't have to wonder anymore. He has your nature. He has dad's nature, mom's nature. He might even have grandpa or grandma's nature. Who knows? But you've got to ask why, or excuse me, what did you do? You cannot properly deal with wrong that hasn't been confessed. If you don't sit down and talk with the child, reason with the child, bring him to a point where before God, you bring prayer into this, you bring brokenness into this to where he seriously or she seriously realizes what wrong is taking place and that they've got to confess this. How can you deal with wrong that hasn't been confessed? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. How can you forgive him when he hasn't confessed it? This also keeps you from spanking for something the child didn't do. There may even be times at this point when the parent decides the repentance is already so complete, no spanking is needed, and mercy is given. The child must understand clearly exactly what he did wrong. If you spank without establishing guilt, you may well create bitterness in the heart of the child. I remember years ago when I did that with one of my daughters. You must remind the child of your accountability to God. The other day I spanked one of my grandchildren, and before I did so, I looked at him. I was sitting alone in the bedroom with them, and I looked at him and I said, "Now, is your papa angry or upset at all?" "No, sir." "Why are we doing this? What did you do? Do I love you? Do I care about you? Do you understand why you cannot continue to do this? You should chase him because God tells you and because of your love. And it's also wise to remind the child that God would have seen him even if you had not." Because the child may get to the point where he only responds to what you see him do. That's not what you want. You want a child to get to the point whether dad and mom see him or not, he is aware that God is watching him all the time. The letter C is calm. The letter H is have time. The letter A is be alone. The letter S is silence. And the letter I, this is so important, instruct the child with your eyes. Use your eyes. Psalm 32:8 says, "I will guide thee with mine eye." Listen to me. If you just grab a child, run in the other room, spank them, you've missed one of the greatest opportunities you've had. Because part of training, or part of his training, is teaching him, and until you look him or her in the eyes, you're not training like you can. Regardless of the age, you've got to get eye-to-eye contact. Have you noticed that often a child who has done wrong does not want to look you in the eye? I've seen situations where it took 5 minutes to get one of my grandchildren to look me in the eye. When you finally, that's the reason I like people to watch me while I'm preaching. Because I know whether or not I'm communicating. If somebody's looking down all the time I'm preaching, I wonder if I'm getting through. And when you've got a little child and you are looking them right in the eye, I've had people, when I first preached this thought years ago, I had several testimonies come in over the years of people who said, "You would not believe that one thought changed our home, changed our lives, changed our children. I never stopped and looked them in the eye before. And I didn't realize how important that was. And I paused and I would not stop until I got their attention." And not just forcefully grabbing the child's face and, "You've got to look at me." Listen, if you've got to do that, you don't have control. If the child's wait, just wait the child out. "You're going to look me now. Come on. Look me now. Come on." And be insistent until you get their eyes. The eyes are the windows of the soul. It's important for you to see into their eyes. It's important for them to see into your eyes. You direct and instruct more with your eyes than you can ever dream. You instruct with your eyes. C is calm. H is have time. A is alone. S is silence. And T is, did I give that? What's that? Talk. Thank you. Lost my place here. I instruct with the eyes. S is spank with a rod. Spank with a rod. Use a rod. The Bible is very specific in this area. The word is always rod. The main Hebrew word is shebet. It means a small rod or a branch off of a tree. You remember the old song? Reading and writing and arithmetic taught to the tune of the hickory stick. They were right. It's a rod. Not the hand. The hand is for love. Not a belt. Not a whip. The Bible is explicit here. Proverbs 26:3 says, "A whip for the horse and a rod for the fool's back." I wish I could go back. I spanked my girl so many times with a whip, with a belt. You cannot control a belt like you can a rod. Because of its flexibility, it is much easier to damage a child. It is not a shoe. It's not a hairbrush. You don't pull hair, you use the rod. You don't shake the child, you use the rod. You don't drag the child by the arm, you use the rod. You don't slap them in the face, you don't slap them in the head, you use the rod. It's a rod, it's a rod, it's a rod. It occurs 81 times in the Bible. It's a thin piece of wood or something like that. It's not even a paddle. When I understood this truth, I understood why the state legislature outlawed paddling, and also understood something happened to me when I was 14 years old in an 8th grade class. The teacher was still using the paddle and used it in front of the whole class. I don't remember how it happened, but a boy who was supposed to get a SWAT decided to take it from me instead of the teacher. I didn't know how to use a paddle. And when I stood up and took that paddle, and he leaned over in front of this whole class, and I hit him, I came down, whoo! And the noise echoed not just through our room, down the hallway and in other rooms. And he screamed in pain. And everybody in the class said, "Wow, woo, woo." I felt bad later and wondered if I had injured him. A small rod would not have done that. We've had the concept of the paddle for so many years in America. A lot of people are still using it. It is not a paddle. It is not a belt. It is not a whip. It is not the hand. It is a rod. If you're not spanking with the rod, you're not spanking biblically. You can expect the child to not change. God knew what He was doing when He said a rod. A rod does not require physical strength. It can be used as well by either a mother or a father. Richard Fugate talked about this when he said, "The objective of chastisement is not to beat a child into submission by the use of brute force. The use of an instrument that can cause more than surface pain can actually hurt the child, which causes the parent to resent his lack of control and perhaps to cease chastising altogether because of his feeling of guilt. Often when a paddle, a board, or a belt is used, it becomes a challenge to a male youth to prove his manhood by enduring the maximum force. Using a rod eliminates that problems. Those problems. There is no pride in bearing up to a narrow rod. It certainly cannot cause lasting injury. The pain received from a rod is more humbling than harmful. There is no defense against it. The more a child braces himself, the more he tightens up and increases the sting, and the most sensitive layer of skin is close to the surface where the nerve endings are located. The only way to stop the sting of a rod is to submit. That's exactly what a child will do, submit to his parents' will, and thus end his rebellion." I've been asked before, how about that verse that says, "The blueness of a wound cleanses away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly." The blueness of a wound cleanses away evil. May I suggest to you, I don't believe it's wise for parents to apply that verse to their relationship to their children. In fact, I think it is very unwise for you to use that verse in relation to parents and children. Why? The blueness of a wound cleanses away evil. A wound is more like punishment than chastisement. In Bible days, when Proverbs was written, there was not only parents chastening their children, there was also the state carrying out punishments. I believe it probably applied to that area. Now listen to me. The blueness of a wound cleanses away evil. You apply that verse to your family, your life, your home. Not only if you get caught are you going to lose your children in our day, but worse than that, if you wound your child's body, you almost always wound his spirit. That is even more serious. Another verse in Proverbs says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear. It is difficult even for an adult to stand a wounded spirit. How many of you have ever had your spirit wounded? If you've had a terrible thing happen in your life, you can get a wounded spirit. There is a way to treat a wounded spirit. Even most adults don't have the wisdom to know what to do when their spirit is wounded. I have never met a child who knew what to do. I've never dealt with a child who knew how to handle a wounded spirit. The blueness of a wound cleanses away evil. So I'm going to spank that child, you say, until he is black and blue and he's going to change. No, you're going to wound his body and you're going to wound his spirit. And when he wounds his spirit, he's going to close his heart to you. When he closes his heart to you, you can't reach him and he becomes a rebel and he's gone. A wounded spirit who can bear, it creates a wall between you and your child. Now, some children bruise more easily than other children. But generally speaking, if there is any bruising after spanking, then you have wounded the child. And you may expect to justly be charged with child abuse. And don't get upset. And don't say, well, I was biblically spanking, because you're not biblically chastising. You are carrying out punishment, and that is not your area. That is an area that is left to God and the state, and you and I will be better off to stay out of that area. Use the rod on the bottom area of the back. Proverbs 10:13 and 26:3 teach that the rod is for the back. Don't spank a child on the face. A slap is a perverted spanking. Micah 5:1 talks about the injustice of hitting someone on the cheek. If you slap a child, the Bible says you're unjust. Do not spank on the arms, the hands, the head, the chest. The bottom area, the back, produces the least pain and the least injury. Remember, the goal is not punishment, which is permanent injury, but change. The goal is to use as little pain as possible, but as much as is necessary to bring the will into submission. In Madrid, Spain, several years ago, a newly married couple had a girl that was 1 year old and just starting to walk. One day, the mother slapped the top of both of her hands real hard. She broke major blood vessels in both hands. And later that evening, that little girl had to have both hands amputated, and it shook the husband so bad he went out and hung himself after it had taken place. C, say it with me, is calm. H is have time. A is alone. S is silence. T is talk. I is instruct with eyes. S is spank with a rod. And the letter E is express your love and pray with the child. Express your love and pray with the child. One pastor said to me, a child properly spanked will often, if not usually, crawl into his parents' arms. Don't send a child to his room after he's spanked. That communicates rejection and would be like a double chastisement. Have prayer together and leave it in the past. When Jesus corrected His disciples, His correction was swift, complete, and done. And with God, the sins you commit, once they're confessed and forgiven, are forgotten. What if you have a sin that keeps repeating itself over and over and over? When the children of Israel in the southern kingdom of Judah refused to give God His Sabbath and refused to quit worshiping their idols, God sent them into captivity for 70 years. And I dealt in a different message with the way that if nothing else is happening, the worst chastisement you can use is to simply set a child in front of a clock and let time pass by and he cannot move. A parent should build such a close relationship that the worst part of the spanking is the broken relationship between the parent and the child. I'm remembering something that happened. I don't remember how old I was. I've hardly ever told this. I must have been 11 or 12 years old. I was a sixth born, but I was rather strong-willed. And my daddy didn't spank me often. My mother usually spanked in our home. And daddy had a problem with anger, and when he did spank it, and I don't say it's critically, when he did spank, and so often he didn't spank, and it was probably better. But I remember one day my dad, he came in and he talked to me, and I'd done something. I don't remember what it was. He talked to me for a little while, and then he said, "Son, I'm not getting through to you." And they'd always used a belt in our home. Nobody had talked about the rod. He took the belt, and instead of spanking me, he got down on his knees in front of me and he said, "I must be a very bad father. You spank me. Something has got to change you. Son, I will start taking your spankings." And on that day, and I'm not suggesting you do that, I'm just telling something that happened in my life. On that day, something clicked inside of me. My daddy really loves me, and my daddy really wants me to change. And on that day, I saw as clearly as I've ever seen it that discipline was not for him, it was for me. And I saw as I never had how much my dad really loved me. Incredible love that he had for me as his son. And I wanted to please him. Something changed inside my heart. What do you expect after you've spanked? You may expect crying, you may expect humility, you may expect change, and you may expect happiness. And if you don't see those things, it's a signal. You haven't done it biblically. And the greatest problem, the greatest difficulty we have is not in dealing with our children, it's in dealing with ourselves so that we can properly deal with our children. My pastor friend, who the grandparents were trying to get custody of a grandchild whose father was a drug addict, and the state was trying to place him somewhere. The state was saying, "You will not spank this child." And the grandparents are saying, "We don't think we can control this child if we can't spank him." My pastor friend got on the witness stand and was allowed to simply speak. And he said, "Y'all are against child abuse." I don't know if he said y'all or not, but that's the way I would have said it. "Y'all are against child abuse. We are as well. Child abuse is always done in anger. Anger is destructive to a child, whether physical or verbal. We teach against punishment. We do not spank a child to get even with them. The Bible teaches the difference between chastisement and punishment. Punishment is the job of the state, not the parent. Parents in the Bible who could not control a child were to take the child to civil authorities for punishment. But the Lord deals with us as His children in chastisement, not in punishment. The Lord's goal in chastening us is to change our heart and our behavior. God punishes the wicked with everlasting punishment. Punishment is an end in itself. Chastisement is a means to an end. It is the parent's job to chastise the child. If you do it like God says, it works. He uses His Word to deal with us. He sends people by. He has the Holy Spirit deal with our conscience. And so that is a picture of the way we must reach the child. We must use our Word. We'll need somebody else to confirm that what we're saying is true, and you must reach the child's conscience. And then if the child does not respond, then comes chastisement. He said we use a thin dowel rod. It won't hurt the child, but it stings. Explain to the child what he has done wrong. Then spank the child. Then hug the child. Then pray with the child. Then love the child. The two social workers were standing in the courtroom listening to this. When the pastor got done, one of them sat down and said nothing. And the other one said, "Pastor, I've never heard anything like this before. I need to think about this. This is very interesting." And the judge awarded full custody to the grandparents with no prohibition against spanking because they heard God's way of changing a child. Maybe there's somebody here tonight who's lost without Jesus. Do you know God loves you and wants you to be His child? And Jesus died for you on the cross to pay your sin debt. If you'll receive Him as Savior, He'll forgive you and save you. Would you bow with me, please?